Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app.
That's right,
download
Yates.
Download the podcast. We're on your smart speakers.
Turn that up, Yates. Yeah, turn my snare up.
Guys, it is that time. It is 9 a.m. 9 a.m. every day. We do four more picks in our mock draft, and Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, former director of scouting for New Era Scouting, is here with us to help us out. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, guys. Appreciate you having me. Good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you.
Yeah.
All right. So different people are going to make different picks in different markets, right? We have callers calling in. We have a special surprise guest making the pick for the New Orleans Saints. Ooh. We are going to get to all of it, and it starts right now. Okay, guys, right now on the clock are the Los Angeles Chargers, and they are ready to pick.
With the 17th pick in the KJM mock draft, the Los Angeles Chargers are selecting Zion Johnson out of Boston College with some other defensive players off the board that we like. We are going to focus in on protecting Justin Herbert and making sure he has everything he needs to get the ball to our playmakers.
Zion Johnson, guard, Boston College.
But that offensive line, that area with Zion Johnson, who's played everywhere on the offensive line, worked the center at the Senior Bowl after the practice. Obviously a guard who played really well. He's going to struggle with tackle. You knew that. But I think the versatility and a professional approach of a Zion Johnson for a team that needs a plug-and-play guy, needs a guy that they can have versatility with an offensive lineman like Johnson, I think makes sense.
Well, Matt Miller, that was Dan from Raleigh making the pick, one of those smart Boston College offensive linemen, Dan. Matt, sorry.
No, Tom Telesco needs to call Dan because this is a great pick. I know everybody says they need another receiver. They need defenders. I disagree. I think Josh Palmer, who they got in the third round last year, will step up. Interior offensive line, Matt Feller and Brendan James are their starting guards. This is a great pick. Zion Johnson, high character, great football IQ, highly athletic. He is a plug-and-play starter. Like Dan said, you got to help our guy Justin Herbert. This is the best way to do it.
Certainly a plug-and-play guy, very smart. Whenever you play the center position, you have to have some smarts about you with line protections, calling out the line protections, things of that nature to help the rest of the offensive linemen out. This is a pick to continue to build that offensive line to protect the future. And Justin Herbert, we saw him select Rashawn Slater. He's done a tremendous job for them. Now you get an opportunity to select Johnson. This is a good pick for them.
Okay, it is now time for the 18th pick, and the Philadelphia Eagles are back on the clock once again. Here, there it is. Here's our producer, Pat Costello, with the pick.
That's what Matt did to
Jeez,
my 15th pick.
Snakes are the worst.
I got your ho-ho-ho right here.
With the 18th pick in the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max mock draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Chris Olave, wide receiver, Ohio
Boo!
State.
We want a running back. Boo!
Olave, to me, is like a little bit of a best of both worlds. He's not quite the deep threat that Jameson Williams is. He's not quite as much of a guy you can just like filter the entire offense through the way that London is. But I just think his route running is so clean and so advanced for his age. And then you add that on top of whatever his long speed is. He feels, in a lot of ways, to me, like a slightly worse like Devonta Smith.
Matt Miller.
I like it. Hey, I like it. We were saying with the Chargers, let's help Jalen Hurts, who I'm a big believer in. You got Devonta Smith. It's time to admit Jalen Reagor was a bad pick, and you should have taken Justin Jefferson. Chris Olave allows you to move on from that, put it in the rear view, maybe kick Reagor inside where he can have some better matchups. But, Key, I think vertical stretchability, Chris Olave is the best healthy receiver in this class because Jameson Williams got hurt. He's pro ready. He's plug and play. Garrett Wilson has more upside. Jameson Williams, has more upside. But to me, Chris Olave is the day one best receiver in this draft class.
You know, I don't dislike the pick. I don't love the pick. I do think that when you duplicate the wide receiver position, when you have a guy like Devontae Smith, you just missed to a degree on Jalen Reagor. Yes, this is a good pick, but at the same time, I can get a receiver, a more big body, fluid type guy later on in the draft. That way I'm not duplicating three guys that are the same. Rigger's the same as Smith. Smith is the same as Olave. You got three speed burners. Where's your big body guy coming from? Where's the X receiver? That's the problem that I have.
All right, what do you know, Key? Time for the 19th pick. The New Orleans Saints are on the clock. And this is a real treat because we have Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas' uncle, Keyshawn Johnson, with the pick.
With the 19th pick in the 2022 KJM mock draft, the New Orleans Saints select Dax Hill, safety, Michigan.
Dax Hill, safety, Michigan.
Five-star recruit out of high school, number one safety, flies to the football, great speed, great awareness, and tremendous versatility. Coached by a guy who's now the defense coordinator, McDonald, with the Ravens at Michigan. So for me, let's say, he's a safety. No, he's a slot corner. He can do everything you want.
Yeah, Mel's right. I love Dax Hill. He's a top 20 player on my board, Key. So you're getting great value here. But I do think we're going to hear a lot more talk about him playing corner than we are playing safety. The Saints have loaded up this secondary. They re-signed PJ Williams to a 1-year deal. They bring in Marcus May. But I still think depth is needed, especially with the way offenses are trending. So the receivers are off the board. There's not a left tackle worth drafting here. I think that's their biggest need. So you look at best player available at a position of need. That's Dax Hill.
When we looked at the board, we certainly looked at the left tackle spot, but the left tackles that are good for us that would be plug-and-play guys, they're all off the board. So the next best thing is safety. Kyle Hamilton gone, Dax Hill sitting there. He can play corner. He can play safety. He can line up in a nickel at a dime situation. When you have the offenses in 3 and 4 5 receiver sets, you most certainly need the depth at the defensive back position. He gives us that.
Best available player, versatile. Plug and play ready. And now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock. By the way, Kenny Pickett's still available. Will they take a quarterback? Here's Chris Carlin from Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
With the 20th pick in the 2022 KJM mock draft, the six-time Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers select Jermaine Johnson, edge rusher from Florida State. It will be a dynamic duo with Johnson and TJ Watt rushing the quarterback.
Jermaine Johnson, defensive end, Florida State.
I was at the Senior Bowl, and he was truly a man amongst boys there. It was wild to watch. He was spinning on guys inside. He had an inside spin he was using. He has the long arm to set up, you know, his power moves. He could cross a guy's face, too. And, I mean, I really like Jermaine Johnson and just kind of his attitude and the way he plays.
I like Jermaine Johnson as well. I think he's one of the biggest risers throughout the draft process. Frankly, I can't believe he's still on the board at pick 20. Now, I am surprised that we don't go quarterback here just because Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, those are not your guys long-term. But if you're like me, you're already looking ahead to next year's quarterback class and you like it a hell of a lot better than you like this year's class. So I think smart pick here because we always need more edge rushers, especially opposite someone like TJ Watt.
Yeah, I look at the Pittsburgh pick right here and Jermaine Johnson. It makes all the sense of the world. You pair him with TJ Watt. You look at the dynamic force and what Pittsburgh's defense has been all about. It's about relentless pass rush, getting after the quarterback, harassing him, and the secondary holding up. I'm not shocked that they didn't take a quarterback in this spot because I do believe in Mitch Trubisky. I don't look at the stop and the stint that he had in Chicago and think, oh, my God, he can't play quarterback. I think he gets a fresh start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he'll prove to everybody, including Jason Williams, that he is capable of leading a team.
So, all right, guys, Zion Johnson at 17 to the Chargers, Chris Olave at 18 to the Eagles, Dax Hill at 19 to the Saints, and Jermaine Johnson at 20 to the Steelers. Kenny Pickett's still on the board, Matt. We'll see if it actually plays out this way. I think Yeah. Every year we talk about quarterbacks. Oh, they're not that good. Anytime there's not a great class, and teams start to squint and see what they want, you know.
I'll be very surprised if it falls like this, guys. If it falls like this and the Steelers don't draft Kenny Pickett, like, for real on Thursday night, I'll be pretty surprised.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't be, though, Matt. I wouldn't be at all if they decided, and you know what, we're good. Because Mitch Trubisky, for whatever it's worth, he's better than Kenny Pickett. He's better than Kenny Pickett for a number of reasons. 4 years in the National Football League, okay? Much more athletic. Way better in terms of hand size, obviously, clearly, right? Kenny Pickett got the small hands, so that was a big deal at the combine. But I think when you look at it, a veteran quarterback with not a lot of experience, but a lot of experience and bad experience, and now all of a sudden you got up, you going up against a rookie quarterback in Kenny Pickett that is a year or two younger. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me to pass on him if he's sitting there. I wouldn't take him.
Oh, I wouldn't either. Right. I think it's the difference between, like, what we're hearing and what we would do. Like, no, I'm not taking a quarterback in the first round this year. No way.
No way. All right. And if you are taking a quarterback, it seems like you should at least, if you're going to roll, don't get like, hey, he's going to be a solid backup. Go get a guy who has a chance to be a star down the road, right? Malik Willis at least can do some things that you can't teach, and then you can hopefully teach the rest. That is Matt Miller, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL draft analyst, helping us out on our mock draft. Four more picks tomorrow at 9 a.m. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Oh, man.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get back to the NBA.
Shout out to Boston, but just like those old scary movies, they got to make sure the killer is dead. You don't want to give KD and this team any life.
But I think Tatum says to himself, I'm the best dude on this floor, and I'm going to prove it every night. And I think that's what's the difference, that drive to be great.
I got
to
get out the Wallys, because I believe the Nets are getting swept.
Oh, yeah. All right, Q.
Sal Simmons was on the sidelines.
Like, so we got Quinn Cook back here, my fellow Duke
James.
Brother.
How much money did he get from Nevermind?
We don't discuss or disclose those type of arrangements, Keyshawn. Thank you, Joseph.
That's why I didn't finish. I left it alone.
You
I understand.
Could do that yet.
Yeah, spit it, Max. Yeah. Go spit it. Yeah, yeah. So, Quinn, we were having this conversation before the playoffs started about where Jason Tatum is on the hierarchy of the NBA. And I said, you know, it's like, it reminds me of my rookie year going into the club, them escorting you to a VIP table. And you're like, yo, this spot is dope. You and your boys, you're having a good time ordering bottles. Everybody's around. Then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, wait, y'all got the next level VIP? How come I'm not up there? You look up there and that's where Drake, that's where everybody is, right? And I feel like that was Jason Tatum. Like, he's a star, but could he be a superstar? So I would ask you, where do you have Jason Tatum in the hierarchy of NBA superstars? Like, is he on the verge of top five? Did he surpass KD with what you've seen thus far? Oh. Or can you not go there yet?
I'm just asking.
Don't kill the messenger.
But he's top tier. He's top five. He's in my top five.
He's top five.
For sure.
Hold on. You know, you Whoa! Say that. Key, a lot of people throw around top five, but there's only, like, the problem with top five
there's
is
only
there ain't
five.
Too many
top,
slots,
yeah,
right?
Top five what, though? That's what I'm about. Top five
top
this
five
year.
Top five players.
Top five playing this year. Top five
Celtics
in the playoffs,
right now.
Top five for the Celtics.
He's
top five what?
He's a top five player in the NBA right now.
Ooh, who's right, your top so five? Yeah, that, hold on.
So give me your four. Give me your other four, Q.
No, I want no, Key. You can't let this is Q now. That's my brother.
What do you mean? I
want to
just
I need him because I don't want him to say it in any random order.
No. I'm gonna go from 1 to 5.
Okay, let him go.
I mean, we're gonna get spicy.
Okay,
we got KD 1.
KD 1.
We got Giannis 2.
Okay.
We got Bron 3.
It's a good list.
We got Steph 4. I like Tatum.
Hold up, where's Embiid?
Nah, he's 7.
7.
7. Yeah, Jokic 6.
Ooh.
Okay.
Where's Devin Booker? Where's
D-Book? 9-10. 9-10.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
Where's Doncic?
Why Kate? Wait, time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's Luka?
Hold on. Can we start off with the five first, and then we can work into why other guys? Why Giannis behind KD?
I mean, KD's better.
Is it the skill set?
Skill set, two-time champion. He takes the challenge defensively, and when they matched up last year, I just thought KD was just way better.
Yeah,
Giannis being a two-time defensive player of the year, he never ran over there once. And I get the scheme, but you guys, mano y mano, you got to go run over there.
Question. First of all, we'll get to Doncic in a second. It sounds like you might just reorder your whole thing.
Yes,
okay. Now, I agree with you 100%. Like, I was like, after last year, come on, how could you put anyone ahead of KD? You saw what he just did. Giannis is no contest, right?
Yeah.
But then Giannis, something happened as it kept going, and then he had 50 in the finals.
Yeah.
And then that's carried over to this year, and you see KD getting locked up right now. Is something, has any, you're acting like nothing's changed between then and now. Has nothing changed?
No. I mean, we've seen Giannis struggle in a bubble. Again, I know he hurt his ankle, but, you know, Miami put him in a straight jacket as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that was then. And also, like, we can't just get too carried away with these past three games. Just Kevin. Kevin's the best player. But Giannis is... Giannis is on his heels.
I try to tell him, and I'm sitting here trying to tell these dudes, all right, you know, three games ain't nothing. Just relax.
Yo,
just
three games. I hear you, and if push comes to shove, I have to pick. I'll go KD 1-2, although I'm not done with LeBron either. Maybe LeBron. It's unclear to me who the best in the world is, but my guess is it's KD, but you can't have a series
So, check this out, though. If the Claw was playing, does Tatum crack the lineup? If the Claw was playing.
I don't even know what the Claw looked like more, kid.
Stop, man.
It's been so damn long. Stop. And I love Kawhi.
The dude just got hurt last year. Relax.
I mean, Claw makes things interesting for sure.
Where's Luka?
Now. I'm sorry, Jokic, but Luka's six.
Gotcha.
Luka's six.
Luka's next level,
bad
dog.
Boy.
So Jimmy Butler, he at the bottom of the barrel. Then.
I mean, he's top five. 12.
Are you a believer in the Miami Heat?
I love the Miami Heat.
What does that mean? I love them too, but do you love them enough to say they can win a world championship, get to the NBA finals?
No.
They show acting that, like
that's
they
a, know, it always feels like that's my I naturally go to it. Like in every Miami Heat fan is like, you guys hate on us. I'm like, and I know Jimmy can score.
Yeah.
I know he's an elite two-way player. It just feels like there's something when you get down the stretch, you need a Giannis.
Have the same
maybe you
natural
don't. I don't know.
Talent as someone like when you watch Tatum or someone like that, they have more not only size but a little more talent.
Yeah.
Right? Jimmy's getting everything; he's squeezing everything he can out of what
he's
got.
He's squeezing it though.
So, scoring ain't everything in the NBA, but it is everything in the NBA. Where would you put the beard at, Harden?
This year's version of the beard.
Yeah, I was having an argument the other day. You know, I was arguing he was still top 10. I think that hamstring is still bothering him. So I wouldn't put him in the top 10.
Stay his ass off them chicken wings. He'll be all right.
He's
got to stop chasing. You know what I mean? If he stops chasing, then the hamstring would be all right.
We don't see that 35, point score a game. But I think he's still top 12.
Hard to say right now, right?
So Ja and Donovan and Murray and all them, because he's been out, obviously he can't get no love, but Donovan and Ja, they at the 15, 16, 17 marks.
Yeah, for me.
Okay. I get it.
Because you still got like guys like Dame.
Clay.
Clay's back in the mix.
You would rather have those dudes than Ja Morant right now?
No. I'm just saying like I like a little bit of longevity. I like, I don't want to put a guy who's been dominant for a year, maybe two, over a guy who's been dominant
six, seven.
Yeah. You know?
I need to dig into something that you told me. I'm curious if you will share it here publicly. And it was the right thing.
Let's do it.
I think one of the players that we always overlook when you start talking about best in the world is Steph.
Yes.
I don't know if it's because of his sides. He's one of the most incredible shooters the game of basketball has ever seen, probably the most. But you said something to me one time. You're like, Steph is kind of petty, which you love about him.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of people know that about him because they see him as like, oh, he's the good guy. He always has a smile on his face. But you're saying it's quite different.
Yeah, he's tricking everybody. He's as feisty, as competitive, as petty as any superstar, as any guy.
Like, what's an example of that?
For example, when we played the Trailblazers in 2019, that's when, Dame waved the Thunder goodbye. Dame was on a tear. They beat Denver in seven. We played them, and it was that little talk,
Yeah, a little barking.
It's Dame and Steph. If you put Dame on Golden State, is it and I remember going into game one. We have these extensive preparations for the playoffs, and we're going through matchups. They're like, Clay, you're on Dame. Steph's like, no. I got Dame.
Woo!
And then so we like, oh. okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, we never really, obviously, you know, Andre and Dot kind of talked him down. Like, now we need you to score 40, bro. Kevin's not here. But, you know, he pays attention to, you know, the higher ranks, and he always wants to establish he's.
In that case, is he going to ever win a finals MVP, you think? Or how many finals do you have to play before he wins one finals MVP?
Max.
I'm curious. Goodness. That's a real thing.
That's the one thing.
What does that mean?
What does it mean? It means you cannot even be in the conversation for best player in the world if you played in five finals and have never won a finals MVP.
That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
It means everything.
Come on. One of the biggest robberies in the NBA history is 2015, him not getting it. I mean, I love Iggy. Iggy's my mentor, big brother, but
that's because LeBron was so much better than him that they couldn't give it to – they had to give it to the dude guarding LeBron.
It's not like Iggy, like, locked down LeBron.
No doubt. I'm saying the reason Iggy got it is because they're like, look, man, LeBron is by so much the MVP. We can't give it to this dude. We're going to have to give it to whoever guarded LeBron.
So wait, Q, speaking of LeBron and Steph, like, what's the difference between those two? I'm not talking about physical difference because we see that. That's apparent.
Given the fact that you did play with both.
Yeah, exactly.
LeBron, you know, he's the life of the team, life of the party. When he comes in, he's, you know, he makes it fun to be around him all day. Steph is a little bit more conservative, you know, but he's also, you know, when it's time to lock in, he locks in. But one of the best teammates I've had, just from a character standpoint, is just him caring about you. You know, I was his backup, obviously, and, you know, when he went down and I had my nice game of runs, he would text me at halftime. He'll send me film adjustments. He kind of helped me take that next step. So, you know, I'm forever grateful for Steph. And, you know, those two are all-time greats, obviously, but, you know, how they are when nobody's watching, it just kind of shows you how, like, this greatness didn't happen on accident.
So that's one of the reasons why Jordan Poole is probably doing so well. If you're talking about him communicating with you at halftime at home watching games, he allows a guy like Jordan Poole to explode on the scene and there's no ego involved.
I mean, like, game four yesterday, he's still coming off the bench. I mean, like I say, he's a top five player, top three player maybe, and, you know, he still has that kind of humility to come off the bench. So
when their careers is over, how will they be ranked when their careers are over? Will LeBron be 1, 2? Will Steph be 6, 7, 5, 3? Where do you think it's gonna fall?
I mean, I get killed all the time for this, but I think Steph's the best point guard to ever play. You know, I think Bron and Jordan are neck and neck. Just my opinion, obviously. I didn't see Jordan early 90s, late 90s, obviously. I was born in 93. But, no, LeBron's the greatest I've ever seen. Just from longevity, from a winning standpoint.
Steph's the greatest 6'3" player of all time, right?
And obviously Magic has the accolades. Magic is, you know, Magic. But I just think from a dynamic standpoint, I think Steph's the best.
Can we keep you around one more segment, chop it up on the NBA? Let's do it.
I need to know if it's FedEx or Wired.
Plus, I need to know about, like, where are the best lemon chicken wing spots.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
What?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Quinn Cook, my fellow Duke brothers, well here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Q, so I'll just start off with what the production said. I mean, the sound you heard coming in. What's a bigger disappointment, the Lakers or if the Nets get swept? Ooh. This was supposed to be the NBA Finals, by the
way. They ain't swept yet.
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah. Obviously, if the Nets get swept, that'll be the bigger disappointment.
Why?
I mean, you got the best player in the world. You got Kyrie Irving, one of the best guards in the league, probably the most skilled guard that we've seen in a while. Those two together, you can't get swept in the first round.
You see, I'm kind of with you, but then also, like, I start thinking about the Lakers, and I go,
if they get swept, though.
If they get swept. Let's compare the Lakers and the Nets. Like, Sean Marks, you know he's going to be the GM.
Yeah.
Joe and Clarissa, you know their ownership. Like, you feel like they make decisions based upon what KD and Kyrie want. You know what time it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what time it is to a degree in L.A.
Yeah.
I think I do with LeBron and Rich Paul,
6:34.
Right? Exactly. Rob Pelinka, you got Jenny Buss, you got Kurt Rambis, you got Linda Rambis. A lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
What do you do with Russ? He's going to be the highest paid player in the NBA next year at $47 million, Q. Like, that, what do you do? Frank Vogel's no longer the coach. Yeah. He got fired by a tweet. Like, it just seems like an absolute mess. It seems like very L.A. Reality show-like.
Brooklyn would be, but I look at it this way. You say they got Kyrie and the best player in the world. Well, we got the best player in the world, too, right, depending on who you're asking.
Yeah.
On top of that, we just won a championship 2 seasons ago. We went out and got a guy in Westbrook who we thought could come in and help us with another guy that at times was mentioned in the top 6 or 7 players, maybe even higher than that in the NBA and in the AD. So we were supposed to be on autopilot, and the Lakers is different than the Brooklyn Nets because we pushed all our chips to the table in the center and said we're going to go win another chip because we got LBJ.
Right.
And we didn't even make the playoffs when there's what, 10 teams?
Yeah.
Key, like, you make some good. Key, you just made a compelling argument. Number one, it's the Lakers, not the Nets. Okay.
Yeah.
Number two, they didn't even make the play in. Right, so that's really disappointing.
Well,
Key,
yeah,
on
play
the other,
in, not even the play
right, not even the play in.
Yeah.
On the other hand, think about what the Nets did with just KD last year in the playoffs to the eventual champs. They almost came as close as you could to beating the eventual champs with just KD.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking, oh, Kyrie and James Harden with KD a whole season, they're going to chip up, they're going to smoke everybody. Smoke everybody.
Yeah.
Now, those are one expectations. The Lakers, a lot of people, when they got Westbrook, go, I don't know how these pieces fit. Like, a lot of people said, oh, they should still be good, but I don't know if they get to the finals. That wasn't the Nets. The expectations were higher for the Nets.
Right. No, I mean, today, I don't care if the Nets get swept or whatever. I see them winning tonight, like I said, but if they don't get swept, obviously the bigger disappointment would be the Lakers. Just because you have two MVPs there. You have a guy, AD, in his prime at 29 years old. Just won a chip two years ago.
I think
for me, being in that locker room, being with that organization, win a championship with them, it was just – disappointing to see. I didn't see that togetherness. You know, I didn't see it.
About the bubble during that time that made it different?
Yeah. For us, well, even before the bubble, that was the closest team I had ever been on. You know, Oak Hill, DeMath, the Duke, Warriors.
Really?
That Lakers 2019-2020 team was the closest team I had ever been on.
Wow.
Even before the bubble.
Why? What was it? Can you describe that?
I think it was a new energy. It was a fresh energy. Obviously, LeBron having that first year there with the young guys, then you trade for AD, then you bring in guys like Avery, you bring Doe back, you bring in Duds, you bring Dwight. It was just a new energy, and we were winning.
And you guys rocked together like that off the court,
and
too,
also,
all that stuff?
Even, like, I never had a team, in my 5 years in the league at that time, a team that we all went out to dinner, like, even in our home, base. Like, we might go out to dinner or go to the movies on the road, kicking on the road, but – like, we were still kicking it in L.A. And obviously, guys that have their entourages, cliques, their families, whatever. But, we enjoyed each other so much. We were with each other, you know, all season. And also in the bubble, you'll see guys like from other teams, you know, do their own thing. But you know, the Lakers, we were always together.
Wow.
Is that because of LeBron? LeBron put that together like that? Because I would envision that he, being LeBron James, could isolate himself, but yet still he didn't isolate himself. He made himself part of a team. Well, a lot of stars on teams isolate themselves away from everybody.
Yeah, LeBron, obviously it started with LeBron and also AD, those two being so close and those guys wanting to kind of, you know, just make it fun. Just make it fun for everybody.
Wait, Q.
Wow.
You said AD.
Yeah.
Tell me how AD leads, because I don't feel like a lot of people have insight to who AD is as a leader, or they see him as a player, but not as a person.
We haven't seen him on the court since BC is the problem.
See, that's naturally where people go to.
Yeah, that's where. But he leads by voice. He leads by voice and also by example when he's out there. He's very vocal, and he's a guy who just takes a challenge, especially defensively, and he sets the tone defensively. And obviously he has some unfortunate luck the last 2 years, but no, he's a top five talent. Yeah. You know, when he's out there.
Yeah.
All right.
That's super interesting.
Straight from the horse's mouth, okay.
That's super interesting. The bubble year, Lakers championship, the closest team, including college and everything, Quinn Cook has ever been on. Rocked with each other, even in their, not just on the road having dinner, but all the time.
That says something, man.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, a coach on the hot seat, and his quarterback might join him next.
I ain't never seen somebody so tall in my life, man.
Welcome to my draft.
Oh, his hands is huge and thick, and his was, oh, man.
I'm saying thick all the time. Jeez.
The physical description.
I don't like it.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You guys see the clip of this dude dipping his hot dog in his beer at the game?
Disgusting.
Yeah, that yeah, I don't I, even.
Why? Key, what? I don't understand. Key, please talk me. You're a baseball guy. Take me through it.
I've never seen anything like that at a baseball game. Yeah, I want you to explain why y'all do stuff like that.
I don't know about y'all. What do you mean y'all? What do you mean y'all? You mean handsome people?
You mean
handsome men? Is that what is it?
I don't. That was just. Hey, James.
James.
Don't put that James.
Yeah, James will know. James. Why is that guy doing that?
I don't know. That's not. I don't know him.
James, you never did
I've never said.
That's ridiculous.
I've never said my culture. I've never said my culture is an African American man. Don't do weird stuff or strange stuff. Never said that. Mm-hmm. I just know we wouldn't do that.
Although everyone from every culture has something with food. Maybe not that, but something they do where people
Max,
are like,
we're
what are
not
you doing
hot dog. That.
Yeah, it's like beer, mustard on your fries instead of ketchup
dipping,
or something like that. Yeah.
You're dipping a hot dog in beer.
Key, what that do you tell your kids when one of your kids tells the other one, ew, about what they're eating? Don't yuck their yum, right? Don't yuck his yum. He's enjoying it.
But I don't know if he was really enjoying it.
He looked like
and
he was
I've
enjoying
seen
it
kids dip stuff in stuff that you wouldn't do as an adult, right? You look beer at him like, why are y'all doing that?
You
but
a
dog and
beer? Beer dog?
Yeah, that's something like Homer Simpson would be
a
like.
Beer
you
dog.
See him doing it or something.
I don't – soggy – okay.
The soggy
Max,
bread. Oh,
I was just about to say, you have a sandwich and somehow the juices from the meat made the bread soggy. You torn around that bread.
No, Key, you're missing the word. The worst part is this. It's not even what's happening to the hot dog. You got condiments and everything on the dog. You're throwing in your beer.
No,
now you
got to
drink the beer with little ketchup floating around.
Did he have condiments on it?
There is definitely ketchup on the bun.
Look, there it is.
There is ketchup on the bun.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Some sort of relish, maybe? Yeah, there might be relish on there, too.
Yeah, no, that's mustard. He got mustard on the bun.
What fan base is he a part of?
My question
he's
is...
He's a Yankee fan. He's got the Yankee... 90,
I can't.
He's got the Yankee 1996
tribe.
World Series.
I gotta tell you what, now that I'm watching it again, beer on the hot dog, huh?
Stop it.
No, I'm looking in his cart. He has It looks like he has relish and ketchup packages.
Yep. Oh, that's what?
So what happened? Gross.
You know what we should throw? Listen,
he's got the whole thing in there.
But I gotta ask for tomorrow.
Here's what I will say, though. Huh. There's a reason he's sitting by his damn self.
We got to ask for tomorrow. By the way, don't let these guys persecute you, fan. You eat whatever you want. We got to ask people what's the most disgusting food they like.
Please send that in.
Or the most, you know, like the dip chocolate in the peanut butter, but this ain't that, but you know what I mean.
Max, could you have two hot dogs fully in the beer and two beers in a span of 5 minutes?
Hell yeah.
You can do that?
Oh, easy.
Garrett, how about 2 minutes?
You're going to push it till I don't know. Yeah, I say 2 minutes.
All right, bet.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We were in the car coming back from Chicago. Say, Daddy, where's Keyshawn? I'm like, just stop. Don't say
hey,
this on speaker right now. Don't give this man any ammunition.
She loves Keyshawn.
She does love Keyshawn. He's so annoying to me. I'm like, love me.
I'm probably like a cartoon character to her.
I typically, 7:39, when we have that break, is when I call my family. And my daughter's having breakfast. And I'm like, hey, baby, so good to see you. She's like, good morning, Dad. Where's Keyshawn? I'm like, damn. Talk to me for a minute first.
I have
you
that
see
effect,
him on
Jay.
The screen.
She sees you all day.
I know,
you
know she, it's just
Max's kids love me and never see me. that's just the way it is. My demographics go all the way from toddlers up to 90-year-olds, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is.
Jake, he's a celebrity, you know? She's not used to being around celebrity like that.
Yeah, all right.
I think it's the number one draft. I think it's the number one draft pick thing.
That laugh is so annoying, Evan.
Does she love Yao Ming, too?
Oh, God.
It's whoever goes first in the draft.
You guys are relentless. You guys are horrible people. This is my daughter we're talking about.
Bing bong.
Meanwhile, my son is.
Yeah, by the way, the star of that little clip to me is the only word your son knows is ball.
Ball.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, just for every civilian out there who thinks that you're going to raise a kid, they're going to play in the league. Do you understand athletes are having second and third generation superstars? Like, there's just, you watch your kid run around, then watch Jay Will's kid run around. Tell me who's making the league.
I told you guys, I've had two moments in the past, like, 2 weeks. My son said ball, and he found himself. Like, as a guy, you're like, this is heaven. Welcome to the team, son.
My son, they had to, you know, they played the spring league, you know, games and whatnot. So they had a game this Sunday, spring league game yesterday, one of their games. And it was a kid on another team. In the parents, I just hate to be a mean guy. I'm like, not a chance. I don't even know why you mad at your kid. Just, you know, education is good enough. Just chill out, because not a chance. Not athletic DNA, nothing.
Key with your son, when did you start working him out of, like, when you start doing potty training?
You asking me? I can't even.
Yeah. Well, who else going to teach your son how to? You got to point at certain places.
He's still not potty trained himself.
Look, you're asking me, your son.
You're asking me?
No. Yes, when are you going to get potty trained, Keith? That's what we need to know.
I don't think I helped in that category, and I'm not going to take, and I'm not going to lie to the people. No, I did not help my son get potty trained. The mother took care of all of that, cleaned up when I needed to. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit up here and lie, Jay. I did not help him aim. Not one bit.
Yeah, you make it a game.
No, hey. I didn't. Max, I didn't face do that.
Max has three girls. Max is like, I'm disgusted.
This is not my department.
Okay. But I've cleaned and wiped and did all of that. I just didn't help aim.
Man, I'll tell you something. You miss changing diapers. When you get out of that phase, you miss it. It's like a bonding experience.
I don't miss it. No, I miss it. I got a third one coming.
CJ, you ain't got there yet, though. What's your daughter? Your oldest is 3, right?
Yeah, she's about to turn 4, yeah.
It hasn't.
Yeah, wait till she turn 10, 11, 12, 13. Yeah. When she,
Because then I'm going to get aggressive. Like, I'll be seeing how little 2-3-year-old kids. I see how 2-3-year-old boys look at my daughter. I'm like, I will.
But it ain't even that. It's not even that. It's how your daughter is going to treat you.
Have you ever seen the movie This Is 40? You know where the woman talks to the little Justin Bieber looking guy? He's like, I will blank you off. That's the kind of dad I'm going to be.
So yeah. You voted on what we should talk about here. Pressure on Dak got 8.5%. Is Angel Hernandez, the ump who called everything a strike and speeding up the game,
is
he saving baseball? 13%. 31.5% said either Lakers or Nets. Who's the bigger failure this season? But draft week is here got 47%+ of the vote. So that's what we're talking about. Key tomorrow in our mock draft, because, you know, we're 9 a.m. every day. We got four selections. Who do you think the Cowboys should take?
Malik Willis.
What pick are they again? What number are they?
They are.
The Cowboys 24? What are they?
No, it's lower. It's
24.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They were 24.
Last one tomorrow.
I think they're going to look at one of these defensive ends that's floating around, that's still around somewhere, and maybe look to that. The draft is interesting, right? It's a buildup that everybody anticipates. And then there's people sitting in the green room at the end of the draft. And so as you look at some of these guys, maybe there's a Jermaine Johnson laying around from Florida State that they could sneak around.
Well, Jermaine Johnson went in today's draft.
No, but I'm saying
– in reality.
I'm talking more in reality because that's what you asked me. You didn't ask me about the mock necessarily,
right? No, yeah, I asked about the mock. But that's
okay. So in the mock, who they going to get?
I had a thought about that, Key. Like a lot of – the Cowboys are a team that needs to replace stuff. It's hard, man, the NFL, because of the cap and everything. And you constantly have to replenish. Like, you have a strength of a team, of your team, and then it's like, oh, that's not a strength anymore. We got to go get that in the draft. Now it's harder to address the weakness, right? Like, how are you going to shore things up? What's the weakness on the Cowboys if they didn't have to draft an edge rusher?
To me, their weakness is their secondary, their corners in particular. If there's a corner out there worthy of that pick at 24, I wouldn't be shocked if they looked at it. Or if you saw Daryl Stingley Jr. start to slide a little bit, because though people think he's going to go higher than what, you know, you would envision, if he starts to slide, maybe Jerry jumps in there and says, okay, we can go up and get him. But I think when you compare Stingley on the opposite side of Diggs, you get two formal shutdown type corners. That helps your secondary out. But you also, at a defensive end side, if you can get somebody with Michael Parsons and find somebody in the later rounds in the secondary, that helps you out as well.
Key, I know tomorrow you're on your way to the draft in L.A. You got the attire ready. But I want to ask you.
Vegas.
Vegas, that's right, Vegas. Who's the guy in the draft? I'm just curious, like the guy.
I don't know. This year's draft is a weird – it's not –
got to see who's sliding first, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's weird.
Yeah, like but it's not one of those Hall of Fame type drafts where you'd be like, oh, this guy's going to the Hall of Fame. Nobody – if you haven't noticed, Mel or Tom McShay are two guys that are our lead breakdown NFL draft gurus. They haven't mentioned NFL, Hall of Fame, generational talent, franchise cornerstone changing in nobody's names when they talk. Not one player. Yeah. Think about it.
No, you're right. That's why I asked.
Not one guy.
A lot of good picks, but it doesn't feel like great ones. But a lot of good ones. Picks, a lot of value.
Then think about what Mel said earlier. Some people think Thibodeau is sliding all the way down to like 9, 10.
Wow.
And he was supposed to be the number one overall pick. Remember I told you, Max?
Yep. Oh, you talked me off of Thibodeau. You got talked back into Ben Simmons needs to show up.
Well,
but you talked me out of Thibodeau.
I just did that just because I wanted to move the conversation along.
Key, make sure you put on some sunblock before you go out to Vegas, man. I can't.
I'm not gonna be hanging out.
Okay.
Lies, and more lies.
Okay. Looking like the color of the
stripes. Lies, and more lies.
All right.
I'm headed straight to the pool with my 8-pack.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority.
Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.